grace to you and peace from God our Father, our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ.
Amen.
At 8 p.m. on Sunday, October 30th, 1938, CBS Radio reported a story about events in Grover's Mill, New Jersey. The reporter on the scene, named Carl Phillips, began by talking about some object that had just fallen out of the sky. The object was thought to be a meteorite, but it was cylindrical and about 30 yards wide. He interviewed a man named Mr. Wilmoth, the owner of the farm where the object had landed. And Mr. Wilmoth said he was just sitting at home listening to the radio when he heard a hissing sound. Kind of like a 4th of July rocket, he said. Then he turned and saw a greenish streak that knocked him out of his chair. After the interview, Mr. Phillips reported that onlookers were starting to gather around the object, and police were working to try to keep them back, but didn't have much luck. One man on the scene was Richard Pearson, professor of astronomy from Princeton. He thought the object might be extraterrestrial. Well, as Phillips was talking with the professor, the object started to open, and a figure came out. A figure that was the size of a bear with long tentacles. Phillips admitted that he was almost too scared to keep reporting. Now, I don't know if you believe in aliens or UFOs or anything like that, but that was the story that was reported. And that was the story many people believed. And that was the story that was a complete hoax. This was the famous broadcast of War of the Worlds, written by H.G. Wells and directed by Orson Welles. Because it sounded so much like actual news, many people believed that an alien invasion was really happening. Paul White, the head of CBS News, later wrote about what happened right after the broadcast ended. The telephone switchboard, a vast sea of light, could handle only a fraction of the incoming calls, he said. The haggard Wells sat alone and despondent. I'm through, he lamented, washed up. I didn't bother to reply to this highly inaccurate self-appraisal. I was too busy writing explanations to be put on the air, reassuring the audience that it was safe. I also answered my share of incessant telephone calls, many of them from as far away as the Pacific coast. The next day, the banner headline on the front page of the New York Times said, "Radio listeners in panic, taking war drama as fact." In the last few months, we've heard a lot about fake news. These stories that sound legitimate, but they're really made up. But that's not a new idea. It happened with War of the Worlds, and it happened in the Bible. Our gospel reading for today stops with the risen Christ telling the women to report the good news to his disciples. But there's more to the story. The next five verses say this. While they were going, some of the guard went into the city and told the chief priests everything that had happened. after the priests had assembled with the elders, they devised a plan to give a large sum of money to the soldiers, telling them, "You must say, 'His disciples came by night and stole him away while we were asleep.' If this comes to the governor's ears, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble." So they took the money and did as they were directed. And this story is still told among the Jews to this day. So that means there were two competing stories that first Easter. One story said Jesus was raised from the dead. The other said that his disciples came and stole his body. So which one were people supposed to believe? Which one was the real news and which one was the fake news? Well, imagine, for example, that you're watching the news one morning and the anchor reports about some city where a grave in the local cemetery was found to be open. The first reaction would be that someone came in the middle of the night and dug it open. And then there would be an investigation to find out who did it and why. You and the reporters would likely think that some vandals had disrespected the dead. You probably wouldn't jump to the idea that somehow the dead person opened up their casket and then climbed their way up through 6 feet of dirt. That kind of stuff belongs only in horror movies or zombie TV shows, both of which are completely false. And yet, this is our claim about Jesus? We claim that instead of his body being stolen, that God raised him from the dead, and then he came out of the tomb on his own accord. It sounds completely ridiculous. Like saying that aliens are invading the earth. And yet, like the War of the Worlds, many people believe it. Including us. But it sounds like the greatest hoax in history. So then why do we believe it? Why do we claim that this is the true news? Even the very definition of good news, when the more logical story, the one about his body being stolen, is considered fake news. Well, first of all, think about how we determine what's real news. Right? We interview eyewitnesses. We want to see security camera footage or cell phone videos from the time of the incident. We want to have a CSI team do a forensic analysis of the scene. But you know, we don't get any of that with Jesus' resurrection. No one actually saw him walk out of the tomb. There was no video footage. There was no forensic report. All we get are stories, testimonies, the words of others. All we have is the Bible. All we have is the word of Christians who came before us, which for some people can be really hard to believe. It can sound like fake news, or at least biased news. And, as it turns out, that was the same reaction that first Easter, too. Right? The angel was the first one to declare that Christ is risen. He told the women at the tomb, and the women were afraid, but hopeful. In the other gospel accounts, such as Luke, when the women tell the story to the men dismiss it. Luke 24:11 even says that these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. Now, idle tale is actually a really tame translation here. The original Greek is more like they thought the women were full of fill in the blank. Later, two of the disciples were walking to Emmaus, and a stranger encountered them who told them about Jesus, but they still didn't believe. Thomas, of course, famously doubted when he heard the claim Jesus was alive. Saul of Tarsus later persecuted Christians for this ridiculous belief. And plenty of people throughout history and today see this story to be completely false. Plenty of people deny it because it seems so ridiculous. So then why do we believe it? Well, because, as Mary Magdalene is famous for saying, I have seen the Lord. The women at the tomb believed the angel after they saw the risen Christ appear to them. The men who thought the women's story was an idle tale believed them after the risen Christ showed himself to them. The disciples on the road to Emmaus believed the news after they recognized the risen Christ in the breaking of the bread. Thomas believed when he touched the scars. Saul of Tarsus believed when he had that blinding encounter on the road to Damascus. People throughout history, and we here today, believe the story of the resurrection not because there were eyewitnesses, or because there was video footage, or because we've heard a forensic report. We don't believe because we have, quote, proof. We believe because we have seen the Lord. Now, I know that some people might dismiss that and say we've never seen the actual person of Jesus with his wounds like those early disciples did. And that's true. But I bet you have still seen him. Think about a time when you were in darkness, or despair, or doubt. Think about a time when you thought all hope was lost, like those women and men in the days after Jesus died. Think about a time when it seemed like your world was falling apart. I imagine that somehow, in that horrible time, you heard a word of promise. Somehow you saw the risen Christ right there with you. Somehow you saw that he was stronger than whatever you were facing. Perhaps you saw his wounds, so to speak, when you remembered that nothing can stop his love for you. Perhaps you saw that he's with you in the breaking of the bread when we celebrate Holy Communion. Perhaps you saw he's with you when you had some dramatic turning point in your life, like Saul on the road to Damascus. Whatever it is, however it happened for you, I bet that you have seen the risen Christ. Right, that's why we're here today, isn't it? That's why we believe and celebrate the news of the resurrection. And like those first disciples, that's why we tell this news to others. But remember, when you tell this news to others, don't be surprised if they don't believe you. Don't be surprised if they think it's fake news. Don't be surprised if they think that you're full of fill in the blank. You can't make them believe it any more than the angel could make the women at the tomb believe it. But you tell them anyway. Because when they encounter the risen Christ, then they'll know that what you say is true. And so, unlike War of the Worlds, the resurrection of Christ is both good news and true news. For those first disciples, for you and me, and for everyone else. And that means there is a new banner headline. And it says, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. In the name of the one whose resurrection is good news, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.